This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, with promo code ACCIDENTAL, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. Just visit Stamps.com and enter promo code ACCIDENTAL. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of the new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold. Hey, I know in 2020, a lot of us did reflection about our life, about our work, about our career, about where we're going. And maybe in 2021, you're considering doing something new. Maybe you're considering pursuing a new opportunity, or maybe you're in a job search right now and you're just trying to figure out, where do I go? What do I do? How do I talk about myself? What are the best practices for putting myself in a position where I'm most likely to be attractive to a potential employer or a potential client? Well, today's guest is Ashley Stahl. She is a career expert and the author of a new book called U-Turn. That's Y-O-U-Turn. And she's going to be sharing with us some of her best insights about how we can think about life and career management in the year 2021. Before we dive into that, a couple of things. First of all, we're hosting a new series of workshops called Creative Leader Roundtable. It's a series of three workshops. They're live, they're virtual, and they're live, and they begin at the end of January. So if you'd like to sign up for that, or if you think your team might be interested in coming and having some leadership discussions, visit creativeleaderroundtable.com to learn more. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. So one thing we learned in 2020, the internet is actually even more awesome than we thought, right? You can get groceries online, you can get movies online, doctor visits online, and of course, going to the post office online with Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows businesses to do all of their mailing and shipping right from their computer. No need to leave home or office or home office. Stamps.com has saved small businesses all over the country thousands of hours and tons of money. And now you can too. With Stamps.com, you get the services of the U.S. Post Office and UPS right on your computer, plus big discounts on mailing and shipping rates. So Stamps.com brings the best services of the U.S. Post Service and UPS right to your computer wherever you are. It's a must-have for any business. As a matter of fact, we've been using it for years at Accidental Creative. It saves us so much time. It's so easy. You print mailing labels right from your computer, and all you have to do is simply drop things off, or you could even schedule a pickup. It's incredible. With Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. Not to mention, it's a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Listen, Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder that over 900,000 small businesses like Accidental Creative already use Stamps.com. So make 2021 the year you stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with my promo code ACCIDENTAL, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in ACCIDENTAL. That's Stamps.com, promo code ACCIDENTAL. And we thank Stamps.com for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's so great to have on the Axon Creative Podcast today, Ashley Stahl. Ashley is the author of a book called U-Turn, also the host of the U-Turn podcast, and she's going to help us sort through some of our career-based questions. Ashley, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
I'm so happy to be here with you. Thanks for making the time.
So tell us a little bit about your experience and your background. I am thoroughly intrigued by your career path. I think you're probably uniquely positioned to help other people think through their career path because yours is so, I think we could say, unique. Could you share with us a little bit about kind of your background and how you ended up where you are today?
Yeah, I grew up in a house where the news was always on. And from a really young age, my dad, you know, he loved talking about what was happening in the world. And it became a very ongoing topic, political debates in my house, you know, on Sunday night dinners. And it was natural for me to go to college and study politics just because it was kind of what I knew and what I heard about. And I don't know if I completely was sold on the fact that it was my purpose or calling, but I definitely had an interest in it. And I think that's what gets a lot of people stuck in their career, is that you have a general interest in something and you're not really sure what thing that you're interested in is actually meant to be a career path. And so, like so many people, I just kind of grabbed onto it, pursued it as a career path, gave everything to it. And I always took very easily to foreign languages. And I was very impacted by 9/11, just having family on the East Coast. So that all translated into me being one of those millennials who wanted to help catch Osama bin Laden and join the counterterrorism train. And so in my early 20s, I ended up graduating during the recession. I wasn't able to get a job to save my life during that time. Took what I could get and ended up as an admin assistant. And I emailed my university and I said, can you give me a list of every single person who's ever graduated and moved to DC? Like, do you have an alumni list? And ended up working through that list of 2,000 people over 3 or 4 months in my job. Every single day I would cold call or cold email somebody. And after a certain point, making it through the whole list, I ended up feeling confident to move to Washington, D.C. I got a few job offers and, you know, went from somebody who didn't know how to job hunt to really being good at job hunting. And I turned that into tripling my salary and accepting a position running a program for the Pentagon at a very young age. And on the sidelines of that, I learned, you know, through that email list of emailing so many people and calling, I learned how to be a good job seeker. And that inspired me, even though I ended up accepting this role at the Pentagon in counterterrorism. On the side, on the weekends, I was helping so many of my friends from graduate school who couldn't get a job with their resume, with their job hunting strategy. And they would always tell me, you should be a career coach. And I would laugh at them and tell them, like, what does that even mean? Like, I didn't even know what a career coach was. Like, the only type of coach I'd ever heard of was like a hockey coach, you know? So I was like, what does this even mean? Am I going to like stand on the sidelines of somebody's career and cheer them on? Like, I don't get it. And so months later, I ended up getting the confidence to actually start the practice anyway. And now, 10 years later, I've got my book coming out, my podcast, online courses, a private practice, all of that jazz as a career expert. And I'm so happy that I followed that little intuitive nudge on the sidelines of the career path that I thought I wanted.
That's fantastic. And it's funny you say, you know, 10 years later, because that was also kind of my path. It was this, it takes about a decade to get things to a point where you feel like, okay, I think I could write a book about this now. You know, that's about the length of time it takes for all of the insight and the awareness to mature. And so when my first book came out, it had been about 10 years, you know, since I had started really sort of working on and processing some of the things I've been working on for all that time. So that's a really interesting thing that it was also about a decade for you as well.
You know, I love that you say that, because I think there's such a dignity to mastery. And I feel like we're living in an internet world where there's so much amazing content out there, but there's so much noise as well. And it becomes hard to really learn from the internet because you have to sift through so much content. And so for me, as the author of this book and as a career expert, it's like I'm so proud to be putting something so original and new out there in service to people, really getting clear on who they are after all of those years of mastery, like you were saying.
So, you know, as we're speaking, last week, 800,000 new people applied for unemployment in the U.S. You know, obviously just unbelievable numbers of people who are seeking work right now. And some people might be thinking like, okay, well, I'm just grateful to have a job, period. Why should we think about like the ideal job versus just saying, you know what, I'm just glad I have a job?
I mean, historically, times of crisis have also been massive times of growth and innovation. And so I would tell anybody who's in that mindset of scarcity that they should hold on tighter to their job to really question that and use this time to reflect and realize that while so many industries are being challenged and undermined, there are tons of new jobs that are being created and brand new. And it would just be a great opportunity for you to reflect on what is your core skill set, where do you really have a gift, and how can you translate how you've been using it in the past into a position that you would love in the future. And if you start to pay attention to different industries that are on the rise, for example, the intersection between medical and technology, you know, we're going to see more products like the Oura Ring and Whoop wristbands. Those sorts of things are only going to continue. Cleaning companies, no joke, of course, would be on the rise. And we're seeing more sales and customer service roles. There's so much innovation going right now that I would really hope to challenge anybody who's holding on tighter to a job that they're not totally sold on.
I love that answer because I do think that it's easy. It's so easy for us to slip into that scarcity mindset and, you know, to begin to think that the way things are today are the way things are always going to be. And it's often, I mean, like you said, graduating into the recession, I launched my business in the heart of a recession. You know, it's like, it's funny how many people have that story of it was in the depths of some of the worst economic times that some of the most successful businesses were launched. And I think it's because when you are willing to take that chance, to take that risk, when everybody else is running the opposite direction, often there's going to be more opportunity for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find that, you know, it really comes back down to how we learned to deal with change as kids. And our career is so entrenched in how we see the world from our childhood. And so, you know, I think looking back, anybody who's listening to this podcast, if they ask themselves, what was the conversation like in my household about money, about career, or as it relates to right now, about change? Like, how did our upbringing or what did our upbringing teach us about change? Did our parents talk about it in a way that it was welcome and easy and expected? Or did they talk about it like it was a crisis and a problem and something to be stressed about? And so I think this sort of evaluation allows us to get a little bit of leverage on how we're approaching right now. And, you know, I hate to say it, but what we're going through right now, I don't wish it again in the future, but right. We can pretty much count on the fact that there's going to be something else in the future that does cause distress in the workforce. And the sooner we can prepare for that and get our mindsets right, the better.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's funny in my lifetime, so I'm almost 50 now, and there have been any number of these crises, right? So like, I remember very early in my career, I remember 9/11 happening, and then obviously the Great Recession happening, and, you know, and then obviously there was a long recovery, and now this. You know, I think the one thing that we can count on, as you said, is that there are going to be disruptions. There are going to be changes that are going to affect the macro economy. And, you know, we have to leverage those opportunities, as you said, in order to put ourselves in a better position on the other side. And those who have the courage to do it are more likely to be, you know, better positioned on the other side. So I want to begin talking about some of the things that we can do. Some people, maybe somebody is thinking about making a career change, or they're trying to find something that might be a better fit for them, for their skill set, for their mindset. What are some questions that people can ask themselves to help them determine what might be a good fit for them career-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love collecting information from the people around you, because according to research, especially in romantic relationships, your friends know if your relationship is going to last better than you do, you know? And I think that's also the case with our careers, that our people as observers can see where we have strengths. And it's hard to read the label when you're inside the jar. It's hard to see where you're great. And so I would say asking anybody around you the question of, when have you seen me at my best? And I recommend people texting that question or emailing it so that they can read and really process whatever somebody says and see where there's overlap. But ideally, you want to collect this kind of information. Maybe your parents, a couple of very close friends, and then a couple of colleagues would be a really good sample set of people who could give you unique perspectives. And then I think the question from there is, based on what they're saying that they've seen you at your best, what skill set are you consistently using throughout those answers? Usually you can use their answers as data to educate you on what skill set you constantly use that might be so obvious and easy for you that you don't even realize it's a zone of genius.
You know, it's interesting because I think sometimes, I mean, those questions are so good. And I think sometimes we tend to focus on tasks when we think about jobs. You know, what tasks would I be doing versus what unique skills do I have that I can apply to any tasks that I might do? So how do we take the answers to those questions when we get them and then begin to apply them to figure out which kind of job we might want to pursue?
Yeah. So I believe that I'm so happy you're asking me about this, because I think this is really the crux of what so many people are struggling with. I believe there's 10 core skill sets that exist in the workforce. And this is just a culmination of 10 years of me collecting data from my email list and from online course takers. And if it's helpful, I can walk you through the 10.
Sure. That'd be great.
Perfect. And then that really educates people on, okay, based on which one of these are, this points to how your responsibilities should look throughout the day. So out of these 10, I treat them really as not just skill sets, but energies that you enter into or that you lead with. So the question to ask yourself, even if you identify with multiple of these 10 I go through, is which one do you really reside in the most? Which one do you lead with? So the first one is innovation, and this core skill set is for the intrapreneur. It's also for the entrepreneur. So you're going to see somebody with an innovation skill set as highly visionary. They're a creative self-starter. They're a problem solver. If they're an intrapreneur, maybe they run a book of business under the umbrella of a company and they're doing really well at that, or they're probably rising into the ranks of second in command because they're a highly creative visionary and a right hand to the person who's created whatever it is, whatever the company is they're working for. The second skill set is building. And this can be quite literal. It could be a mechanic, a construction worker. It can also be a little bit more concrete, such as a web developer who's spending their day in the energy of building. And then number three, which this could be yours, I would say, because it's definitely mine, both of us being on a podcast, Todd, is words. So this is the one that you're going to see the speakers, the writers, the content creators, the salespeople, even the talent agents, people who rely on words to turn into money in their bank account. And I think an important question to ask yourself as you're going through these as well is, am I an introvert or am I an extrovert? Because if you're an introvert, your word skill set is going to look more internal, like writing and content creation, yeah, versus if you're an extrovert, it's going to be more external, like, you know, speaking and being on stages, like you said that you were right before COVID, Todd. I'm sure you had a lot of that.
For sure.
And then number four is motion. So this is going to be the fitness people, the physical trainers, the masseuses, the tour guys. It's people who really come alive when they're in motion, they're on their feet, they're out and about. And it doesn't sound like a skill, but it is. Not everybody can be leading with using their energy in that way throughout the day. And then number five is the service providers. So the humanitarians, the nurses, the supporters, the service corps skill set is a funny one because I would say that there is a percent of people who obviously belong in this core skill set and lead with this, but it can also be wounded. And so another question to ask yourself as you evaluate these 10 is, where did this skill set come from inside of me? Is it a coping mechanism or is it a reflection of who I truly am? Because some people who say service maybe just learned how to be a people pleaser growing up and they aren't actually who they are, is not in the service skill set. And then number six is coordination. So our event coordinators, our operations people, our project managers, like God bless them. I don't think I could be an entrepreneur without these people. And then number seven is analysis, the researchers, the academics, the people who devote their lives to finding out why something is the way it is. And number eight is the number crunchers, the investment bankers, the accountants. And number nine is the technology professionals, the artificial intelligence professionals. Usually you'll see a lot of them working with innovation in some way as a core skill set. But again, we all lead with one. And then the final one, I love this one the most, number 10, is beauty. And the beauty core skill set is people who make art of the world around them. These are the makeup artists, the interior designers, etc. And once you kind of look through all 10 of these, you can ask yourself, based on where I reside, this skill is what points to what responsibilities and job titles would make sense for me throughout the day. Hmm.
And so once you begin to identify, you know, maybe where you fall in these 10 skill sets, I mean, what would you advise people to do next once they begin to say, oh, you know what, I think I'm maybe a tech pro or maybe I'm a words person, right? Like what do I do then with that information?
Yeah, I would say from there, start to think about who do you know in your life who is leading in their career with that skill set. Start coming up with a list or get on LinkedIn and do an advanced search and come up with some keywords that you think align with the core skill set so that you can start generating some profiles of people perhaps in your area or not, given that we live in such a virtual world, people that you might want to connect with. And start being symbiotic with the advanced search on LinkedIn. Start doing what you can to take note of new keywords within that skill set, so that you can keep jogging the engine for profiles that give you feedback on who are you truly, what is out there truly, what are people doing, and start to just notice where you feel that nudge of interest towards people and be fearless. Don't be afraid to start emailing people. You know, I think that clarity comes from engagement. It doesn't come from thought. And so the more you can engage by doing something like this and having conversations with people, I think the closer you get to clarity on what your actual options are, what feels good in your body, and what the best next step would be based on your core skill set.
I love that emphasis on other people too, because I'm also a big believer that we know ourselves through other people, for sure, that other people often have a better view into us than we do. And sometimes that definitely applies when we're interviewing. People can sometimes see through us or see into us in ways that maybe we aren't aware of. What are some things that we should definitely do when we're interviewing for a job? What are some things we should definitely try to avoid in an interview?
I think one of the most important tools in an interview is just basic preparation, as far as like having an elevator pitch and having a good intentional answer to the question, tell me about yourself. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people haven't taken the time to think about it because it's so seemingly simple. Like, how could we not be prepared to easily talk about ourselves? But it's not that simple. And so it's really important to give yourself the dignity of intentionality. And I also think, you know, when people get asked to talk about themselves, they regurgitate their resume. But we've got to remember, the recruiter or hiring manager has your resume. Tell them something that really ties your life, who you truly are in your heart, to the career that you're choosing, so that the hiring manager can feel not only like they're hiring somebody that's good for the job, but somebody that they're a part of their life mission. It's not just about the job. It's about somebody's mission in life that they've been working towards, and story in life that they've shared, so that they can be a part of that. And we have to remember that hiring managers and recruiters are first and foremost humans looking at another human, to themselves, like, does this person feel like a good time for everybody who works here? Does this person feel like somebody that we can work with and enjoy? And so really remembering that is such a big deal when it comes to your own fulfillment.
So what do you, you know, just as kind of a final wrap up to this, are there patterns that you see among people who seem to be thriving in their career? You know, what are some of the common patterns that you see within those people that we should definitely be on the lookout for and trying to cultivate in our own life?
Yeah, such a great question. I mean, I don't get asked this question often enough, but it's such a telling one. I would say the people who hold their career lightly are the people who succeed the quickest. And what I mean by that is that they're experimental. And, you know, that's probably the biggest message in my book, U-Turn, and even on my podcast, is just to treat your career as an experiment that truly meets you where you are. Because we are growing, evolving organisms. And with every new belief we have about the world, especially a big belief that changes, there's a new version of ourselves that is coming forward. And it's so important that in our career, we honor that, or else a lot of the time we're kind of pushing the river in our career, trying to be somebody that we're not. And that doesn't really translate into top performance and top results. You know, people who move forward quickly are people who create results quickly. And it's just so important that we are able to honor the fact that, you know, maybe if we're not happy where we are, we need to fail faster, you know, and try something on sooner, because the sooner you're willing to try something on, and it doesn't always have to mean taking a new job. It could mean having a lot of those conversations, you know, the networking conversations we were talking about, to learn about other people. That could be part of it. But it's just so key to really get connected in that way to what's out there and a willingness to constantly be experimenting.
You know, I love that. Ashley Stahl is the author of U-Turn and the host of the U-Turn podcast. Ashley, if people want to come find you, where can they come find you?
Thank you for asking. This has been you are so good at asking questions that get straight to it. I love it. So I have a bundle of courses right now available. The book is out in January. Anybody who orders a copy at uturnbook.com, it's youturnbook.com. There is an area on that page where you can submit a screenshot of your order receipt and get a bundle of free courses on money mindset, on how to start a side hustle, on life purpose, on heart-centered sales, so much more. We give hours and hours of course materials to people as a thank you for ordering. So youturnbook.com, and it's youturnbook.com.
Fantastic. Well, Ashley, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks again for having me. I appreciate you.
And again, as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.